Hello everyone and welcome to the Pentecostal Pen. Today's interview session is with Brother Scott Sistrunk, our North American Missions Director for the United Pentecostal Church International. Brother Sistrunk, thank you for joining us today. And to start off today, we want to ask you to tell us something about your conversion, your calling, a little bit about your testimony, how you came to God, and how he put you in the ministry.
Yeah, well, I've been in church since I was 7 years old. I got the Holy Ghost. My Sunday school teacher was praying with me, and I got baptized by Brother Carl Varnell on a Sunday night in Jackson, Mississippi, my home church. Of course, I grew up in the church, and like a lot of kids, and didn't really... I knew that I loved God. I knew that I wanted to do something for God, but I couldn't say that I really recognized a calling from God until I was a senior in high school. And I had applied to all the different colleges, and I had been accepted to Auburn University's vet program. And the Lord began to talk to me about giving him my career. And so I decided instead of going to secular college, I would go to Bible college, and I'm not sorry I did. And I have no regrets about giving my life and my career to God. Oh, I guess it was now 35 years ago or so.
Wow. All right. Now, our second question is, what do you think are the challenges that the church faces today concerning home missions, North American missions?
Yeah. Well, I would say more opportunities are presented to us than challenges. Every church plant faces the challenge of resources, lack of training, and I should say lack of resources, lack of training, and isolation. And so those are the three challenges that most church planters face. And so if we can get a vision as the United Pentecostal Church of North America to make sure that we fund church planting in North America, I'd like to see it funded on the same level that we fund foreign missions. And I'm not saying every church planter is equivalent to a foreign missionary and should get that same budget, but we should, into the North American field, we should be putting a much higher level of finances to support church planting than we are. We are currently trying our best to up the level of training so that all church planters are well trained. We have our launch training that phase one is in January, phase two is in April. And we provide this free of charge. Church planters have to pay their way there, and we feed them while they're there. And the training is free, and it's been, we're in our second year, and it's going really well. It's premier training for church planting, and I think it's going to make a difference over the long haul. Isolation, we are really encouraging team church planting. We want church planters not to go out just them and their wife, just them and their family, but we want church planters to be connected either to a sponsoring church, a mother church, or have a team that goes with them. That's the apostolic model, is planting churches together. So if we can raise the level of finances, if we can provide better training, and we can do it together as a team, I think we can overcome any challenge that may be faced in North America.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, and our third question is, what would you say is the importance of using a home Bible study and the ability to teach a one-on-one home Bible study within church planning and church growth?
Yeah.
How important would you say that is to the process?
Well, Psalms 19 tells us that the word converts the soul. And so somebody is converted by the incorruptible seed of God. It produces conversion and change. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. I know of no better way to implant the Word of God into somebody's heart than personal home Bible study. I'm a big believer in systematic, chronological home Bible study that takes somebody from Genesis to Revelation, that gives them a picture of the whole scope of God's Word, and then obviously teaches them the plan of salvation. Now, the Word is the key factor here, and some people do get the Word of God just by coming to church. In fact, earlier generations, a lot of times they would come to church and hear enough sermons until it produced a conversion in their life. Today, people just are not used to going to church, right? And so they're the chances of somebody unconnected coming in, visiting the first time, and then becoming a regular church attender for 6 months until, and then convert, have a conversion moment 6 months later after having been to two services a week. That scenario doesn't happen a lot now. And so, but if we can meet with them every week at a coffee shop and teach the word, the Word will produce a conversion. So I'm a big believer in personal home Bible studies, whether that's search for truth or exploring God's Word, whether or any of the other good options out there. And so I know this, a person can't be converted without hearing the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. All right, so move on to our next question is also concerning home Bible studies. So I know me personally, I don't have much experience teaching home Bible studies, and I'm sure there may be many others listening today that are kind of nervous to step into that. So what would be some tips or important reminders that you would give a young minister or someone that's just starting to teach home Bible studies? What would be some advice that you would want to give them today?
Well, I think it's just like golf, or it's just like hitting a baseball. You're not born good at it. So the only way to get good at teaching home Bible studies is to teach more home Bible studies.
That's good.
Okay? And you've got to teach them. You should teach your family, teach. You just, there's no substitute for experience. And you'll get better at it. Teaching a Bible study is not hard. I mean, it's basic information, especially if you're called to the ministry. You should know all of that information. So it's not a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of how I communicate that knowledge to somebody who's never heard it and is from all of these various backgrounds. You could be teaching literally somebody who has a master's degree in biblical studies all the way to somebody who is illiterate, okay? Mm-hmm. And learning how to do that skillfully with each set takes time and it takes practice. But I would say this, don't wait until you feel like you're the perfect home Bible study teacher to teach a Bible study. Mm-hmm. If you do, you'll never teach a home Bible study.
That's
Go
true.
Teach them. I started teaching home Bible studies when I was in the 10th grade, and I was terrible at it. Okay, but I kept on and kept on until I developed that skill. I would also recommend that you Google Morrell Cornwell and that you look up his YouTube videos on him teaching a Bible study. That's a great place to start.
Wow, I might have to check into that later. All right, our next question is a little bit more lighthearted. Tell us about maybe one specific funny experience or maybe multiple experiences that you've experienced in church planning. I'm sure there's been, you've seen a lot happen throughout your time.
Oh man, that's a hard one. Which one to pick? let's see. I told a story today about a time I baptized this couple. And they both got the Holy Ghost on the same night. It was a cold Michigan night. And so I baptized her first. And no, him. I baptized him first. And I didn't want him standing there in his wet clothes in the cold. And so I said, we'll wait to baptize Christine. They weren't married at the time. But anyway, his girlfriend. I said, I'll wait until you get dried off, and then we'll baptize her. So he went back in the changing room, and I'm talking, looking the other way, and I hear a gasp coming from, and I look over there, and he's got this little towel wrapped around him. Nothing else on but a little towel. It wasn't even always closed. And so so we covered him up with towels and went on to baptize her. But I guess one time, in all of my church planning experience, it was just me and my family. Nobody showed up that night, and so I went ahead and we set up the song slides. My 8-year-old son ran the slide projector, and so we set everything up. His mom played, and I led songs, and my 3 kids were out there. He was running the slide projector, and then we took up an offering. He passed out the offering deal, and we had fun. We wouldn't have had fun if we did that every week, but it was fun for one time. But we never had to do that again. And no, I didn't preach an hour sermon to him. I let him go early that night.
Okay. Nice. All right, so right now I want you to talk to that home missionary who might be listening right now, and they are struggling with planning a church. They're in the midst of it right now, and they're struggling with moving on. I want you to talk to that home missionary right now, like they're right here in the room.
Well, I would say join the crowd. We've all struggled. Nobody has ever planted a church without feeling like a failure at times. There's going to be those days when you feel like, I don't know a thing about planting a church, I don't know a thing about Bible studies, you know, what am I doing here? And I would say this, you got to go back to your calling. Go back to when you heard God say go, and know that God is with you. His word will not return void. And weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And of course the question we have is, how long is the night? You know, and not long. It's not long. He won't put more on you than you can bear, and God's going to come through. And when he does, it's such a miraculous thing to see how what God has done. And one thing that God has to be assured of is that he gets the credit, the glory. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Mm-hmm. And God's going to build a church in your city, but he's going to make sure he gets the credit for it. And you just keep being faithful, and God is going to come through. He did not call you to go to the other side for you to drown in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. He called you to go across. You're going to make it across. Have faith in God.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. All right, next this will be our final question of this interview. And for this one, we want you to talk to that young minister who may be feeling a call or a pull to be a home missionary, church planner, or maybe just help with a church planner, be a foreign missionary on the foreign field. What would you say to them to help them know if that call is divine? Or talk to them, just like they're right here in the room right now.
Sure. Well, I would say this. Your calling will get stronger and more clear as you go forward. And one thing we're all called to do is be a good Christian. One thing we're all called to do, whether you know you're called to Greece or you're called to New York or Montreal, you're called to be a Christian, you're called to pray, you're called to fast, you're called to work where you are, and you're called to be a faithful servant. If you're not producing fruit where you are, then God's not going to put you somewhere else, and then all of a sudden you're going to be fruitful. Bloom where you're planted now.
Mm-hmm. That's
okay?
Good.
Okay. And then I would say this, learn to win souls. Learn to make disciples. Get in the harvest now, wherever you are. Find that visitor role and go through it. Call. Try to set up some Bible studies. If you can learn to teach Bible studies now, and you're going to have to get some reps on Bible studies. You just got to get some reps, okay? Get to teaching some Bible studies now. And so that when you finally figure out that specific place that God wants you to be, you're going to be ready and you're going to be prepared to thrust that sickle in the harvest and reap right away.
I guess the general idea with that is don't get so caught up in the future that you forget about what
That's
God
exactly
wants you
right.
to do right now.
That's exactly right.
Work for Him now and God will make it all work in the future.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So I'm wondering, Brother Sistrunk, as we conclude this interview, if you could just say a prayer over our listeners to end this
Amen.
Off.
Lord Jesus, right now, God, I pray Jesus. For every listener. God, I pray that You would give them that same compassion for the lost that You have. God, I pray that they will not be like the disciples were when they were shooing the little children away from You and You said, suffer the little children to come unto Me. God, I pray that You'll give us that same compassion. Lord, we have Your Spirit within us. God, give us a love for souls, a love for the lost. God, I pray that You would give clear direction, God, to those that are seeking direction, God, to whether or not to plant a church, whether or not to be a foreign missionary, whether or not they're going to be a pastor, whatever their calling is, God, I pray that You'll give them divine direction, Lord. I pray that You would make it clear to them, God. I pray, Lord, that You would commission all of us, God, to do Your will. God, You are the head, we are the body. Lord, help us to listen to Your instructions and be obedient to that heavenly vision. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Sistrunk.
Amen. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.